Ephesians chapter 3. You have your Bibles, want to turn? Ephesians chapter 3. You have it, say amen.
Amen.
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Exceeding abundantly. For lack of a better title. If you got a better one, tell Brother Tony. He's always looking for him. I asked him the other night, I said, now what did you title that? And he told me the title he put on. I said, at least I'll know what I'm looking for if I ever need it. Because half of the time I don't title these things. And then they put titles on them back there and I don't even know the sermon. The title is not even, and I don't even know it. So if you need to know, keep the date. Not that important preaching, but that you can keep your record straight. In the earlier part of the epistle to the Ephesians, Paul, according to as he is usually does, he gives instructions in the doctrine of the gospel. And that is why he is such an important asset to that first century church. Paul, from that vivid imagination and mind of his, could see doctrine clearer than a man can see the blue in the sky. He absolutely saw things that was impossible to see without the Holy Ghost. But when he saw them, Paul fell into it as one of those things that only a man who loves the Word of God can do. He got so happy that he saw it that he always stopped in the middle of what he was doing and gave God thanks. Amen. So we're seeing here a teacher who unfolds and unravels great truths. He's unraveling the majesty and the power of God, the deep things that belong to us, Paul is now unraveling for us. And we find he gets engaged in this great task, and the deeper he gets into it, the more Pentecostal he becomes. He ceases from his exposition and goes and engages in intercession. He goes from teaching to prayer. And this is the attitude you find him in right here in this verse. Paul is prayerful. And before he closes, he becomes a pleader. He becomes a pleader to God for this experience. And then he goes from a pleader to a praiser. Every experience has that in it. You start out by looking. You end up expecting. And the more your expectation is, the greater the result of your expectation. You see, it's a job of the preacher, and sometimes I fail in this area, to get you to where you are expectant, to where you're looking for God to do something, say something, move something, help something. That expectation is what our faith is given to us for. Amen. I hope you will help me for just a few minutes, for Paul will end there for a moment. He comes with the full, to be filled with all the fullness of God. You would think that we would stop right there. What is on the other side of being filled with the fullness of God? Being filled with the fullness of God. What's on the other side of that? It looks like a man would just stop, pull up short and say, whoa, that's exceedingly and abundant right there. Being filled with the fullness of God.
Right.
Paul doesn't even stop. He doesn't even take a breath. He just keeps on going on the other side of being filled with the fullness of God. Now, I didn't even know there was another side of it. I would have been happy to have the fullness of God in me. Amen. He doesn't stop. He reaches his limit in his articulate ability, his pleading, and he can't get any more loftier. You can't get any more of attainment than that for which he's asked, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. Amen. But then Paul goes on. He has a second thought. And dealing with God, he thinks of God. For a moment, Paul, in his greatness, thinks of God. And when he thinks of God, he simply sees God as immeasurable. You cannot figure God. And that's why he said that might know what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. The immeasurableness of God. You can't get high enough. You can't get wide enough. You can't get deep enough to capture all of God. Well, Paul begins to look at this, and he thinks of the loftier heights. How can this be? Then he thinks of God's immeasurable love. And he's asking himself the question, how is this love to be manifested? To whom is this love to be manifested? And then he thinks of the redeemed. The redeemed. If God is going to show anything great and mighty, if God is going to reach to an unattainable height, if God is going to do something above expectation, if God is going to do anything at all, he's going to do it for his redeemed. Amen. 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 For the redeemed. You see, all of his almighty power, possibilities of all blessings from his hands, no matter what the range of it is, of all speech and of all thought, he said, when you run out of words, you still got God to contend with. When you run out of thought, you still got God to contend with. Because the limiting of God is unlimitable. He cannot be limited. So we leave the matter of God and worship, and we find ourselves at his feet. Because that's where you're going to end up if you leave the matter with God. God is going to bring you awestruck to his feet. And there you're going to learn to worship. But as you worship him, you get a glimpse of him that you can't see in any other area except worship. When you worship God, it opens up a different view of God. His almightiness will strike you with fear. Amen. His abilities, his inimitable knowledge will just make you dumb with awe. But when you worship him, you find yourself in a different attitude, because worship is about loving something. And when love comes rushing in, love always lifts. Can I get an amen? Amen. Didn't this lifting of love, you see, if the apostles praying passes over into praising. And that's the way it is. Always, when you approach God, you may approach him in one way, but if God has his way with you, if the Spirit of God has his way with you, you will end up worshiping and praising God. Oh, hallelujah. If a sinner comes in full of sin, if he really gets born again, what does he end up doing? Thanking God, praising God, worshiping God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Somebody comes up here and they seek the Holy Ghost. What happens when they get the Holy Ghost? They are praising God. It may be in another language, but they are praising God. It always works. The Holy Ghost will bring us down. And when we pass to the fullness of where God wants us, we will be praising. He is still on his knees. He has not ceased to plead. He's begun to sing. He's now singing. And the doxology that he sung is now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Paul is now singing a doxology about a God that he was first trying to put into doctrine. Somebody says doctrine's not worth knowing. Man, try that swimming pool. It's over your head. It will bring you to God. And to know God is to love God. But you'll find out, like Paul, that language is insufficient. It cannot express the things of God, the thought or the intensity of God's feeling towards us, there is a vast glory of God that is so great, it's called Shekinah. Do you ever hear anybody describe it? Nobody can describe it. That's why they give it the name Shekinah. It belongs strictly to God. There's a glory of the sunset, a glory of the morning, there's a glory of the spring, there's a glory of beauty, there's a glory of everything. But when it comes to God, it has one word that tries to describe Him. It's Shekinah glory. That means something that's indescribable because God's right in the center of it. And that's what Brother Hyde come to preach to us. That one day, someday, somehow, there would be a service when the Shekinah glory of God would just come down and hover over us. One day, someday, somehow, there would be a service when God would walk into this building and bring with Him His own glory, and bring with Him a glory that will make the lame to leap and the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the dumb to sing. There is a glory that can lift you above your troubles, a glory that can lift you out of your infirmities, a glory that can lift you to a next world, a glory that can make you shout and happy. Oh, we should help me. Paul reaches up and he tries to, in his poverty of speech, he tries to realize what he's doing. But he finds himself heaping epitaph upon epitaph and phrase upon phrase. He just endeavors to impart in a language that is not capable of describing God. So what does Paul do? In his inspiration, he just simply says to God, "Help me. I would like to clothe my thoughts with some garment that gives an expression of how great You are. I would like for You to help me to clothe my weak language so that You get the honor. And You get the glory. And You get the praise." Have you ever just wanted to praise God and found your words insufficient? Have you ever just wanted to get to God and say to God, "I would love to tell You how much I love You," and you end up just saying, "I love You with all my heart"? Well, that's because we are so weak in language. We lack words to describe God. We like words to describe Him in His glory. He is infinite. And you cannot define infinite. It just means beginning none, end none, infinite. No end to it. God is infinite. We never met nobody like that. Not in my lifetime. Amen. And there it is. It's not surprising, therefore, that He strains the resources of human language. He strains to come up with words. But that's not bad. We all do that. When we really find something that really touches us, it becomes indescribable. We have to work to get it. First, notice Him. To Him that is able to do more than all things. That's His first thing. He said, "God, You're able to do more than all things." And then He supplements the phrase and says, "Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Not merely above all that we ask, nor is it abundantly above all we ask, nor is it exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. It is exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Woo! That's God. You see, there's where faith comes in, because this becomes an uncharted sea which desire cannot compass and imagination cannot explore. It's a uncharted sea that no man's ever sailed on, because it's on the other side of what we think. Oh, hallelujah. I am got it in high gear, and you look like you're not even hooked on yet. Amen. Let me tell you some more about God in a hurried, fast way so you can get to where we're going tonight. The endeavor of these soaring words is to bring our faith into a place where we can begin to ask God. To begin with, it is just that salvation that God provides for His people is more glorious than you can conceive. Right. We have yet to got to the depths of our salvation. Right. The width of our salvation. or the height of our salvation. God didn't just save me from my sins. God opened up a vista of glory that's before me, and he says, go get it. It is abundantly, exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ask or even think. God is not mean or stingy to his children. He has left us in his will. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and it's yet to see what God has in store for us. Didn't Paul write it himself? Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Oh, hallelujah. You see, our minds cannot grasp his fullness. We are in revival for 3 weeks with God, and still we cannot imagine what he could have done if he wanted to do it. We've seen enough that it made us wonder. Amen. That Sunday morning when Eric stepped out and come down those aisles, we had prayed for years to see him step out and come down the aisle. You know what I'd done? I stood here like a deer in headlights. Is it really happening today? Yeah, pinch me. Is it really happening today? Here it came. What I thought, exceedingly and abundantly above what I was thinking. Come on, somebody shout amen. But that's God. 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 That's my God. That's my Father. That's his glory. That's what he does for his children. He answers prayer. He does it in his own time. He gets all the glory. He gets all the honor. He gets all the praise. But he's able to do more than that. You see, now that I see Eric saved, I can see him sanctified. My faith has stepped up. I can see him sanctified. I can see him filled again with the Holy Ghost. I can see him quoting scripture again. I can see his heart on fire like it once was. I can see a lot of things now, but I couldn't see it till then. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. You see, I've come tonight, and I'm not preaching much longer. I've come tonight to tell you, you need to think. You need to really think. You need to turn that mind loose and think. Because if you can think it, God can do it. Did you ever think what it would be to see somebody sitting beside you in a church house that hadn't sat there for a long time? Can you think it? Can you see it in your mind? Can you call God and say, Lord, I think I can believe that. And to him that believeth, all things are possible. No, you're not helping me. He proposes in his heart the wide possibilities. He blesses us with the realization that all things are possible with God. And God will not withhold anything good from them that walk upright. You are in God's will. And the Bible said if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And we have the petition of which we ask. Right. But it's not only asking. It's thinking. Amen. First, ask it. But there's more to it than that. When you ask, you still haven't got it all. Can you think? Let me give you an example. Joshua's on the battlefield. He's running out of daylight. That's a commodity to a commander. He needs to finish this battle. Why, he's got his enemies weakened. He needs to destroy them. He needs to wipe them out. He's running out of day. They're going to sneak off in the night. They're going to regroup, and they're going to be back tomorrow to face him again. So what's Joshua do? He looks up at the sun, and all of a sudden he's thinking the thought, a mere man on earth is going to speak to the sun and the moon. Well, that's beyond my thinking, my comprehension. But here he is. Here is a man in the middle of a battle. He's got arrows going this way, rocks going this way, spears, chariots rattling, everything. And in the middle of it, he just stops and stands and says, Sun, stand still. And moon, don't move. And we're right back to battling. What did God do? God said, that's easy. I made him. He just reached over and got one in one hand and one in the other and just held everything steady and said, fight on, Joshua. If that's all you're thinking, I can do that. You ever? Yeah, oh, come on now. Help me preach. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is You're only on the verge of revival. You're only going to begin to see what God can do when we get enough faith to step beyond what we're asking and then and to try God beyond what we're thinking. Amen. I want to go beyond what I'm thinking because sometimes I don't think large enough. Sometimes I don't think strong enough. Sometimes I don't think big enough. But oh, if I can think, God's able to do it. Hallelujah. You see, His love and His power are the same toward you. He will not withhold it from you. You asking, God's able. So let us repeat what He says. God is able to do. Can you do that? Can you say those words? That we may be able to know Him. He is able to do it. Right. Now unto Him that is able to do. Able to do. Now unto Him that is able to do. Make a way where there is no way. Hallelujah. Go right through the Red Sea. Amen. Stop the raging Jordan. Hallelujah. Bring a mountain down. Bring the valley up. Oh, He's able to do. Can you think of anything that God cannot do? If you can't think of a thing that God cannot do, then why don't you think of things that God can do? Hallelujah. Well, that's a good message. I'm feeling good. But you're looking like a cake and ice cream's winning. One more time. Dryden Road, listen to me. As your pastor, you're just on the verge of God doing something greater than you ever thought. You're just on the verge of seeing God act like He's never acted before. You're just on the verge of seeing God roll up His sleeves and go to work. You're just on the verge of seeing an almighty God do some great things. It's not impossible. Did you hear me? Not with God. It is not impossible. Diabetes has a healer. Cancer has a healer. No matter what. Oh, hallelujah. Ask, thou shalt receive. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, I stand ready to open, saith the Lord. Bring it to me. Cast it upon me. I am thy surety. I stead at the right hand of the Father. Whatever I say, He will give it me. I say to thee, ask in my name, and I will do it. Ask, saith the Lord. For you have not because you ask not. Come to me and believe. Come and drop your limitations. Try to find my width. Try to find my height. Try to find my depth. Yea, saith the Lord, I will not keep thee from it. If thou canst find it, and I will reward thee. For I am a God that seeketh to reward them that seek me diligently. Seek me. And you shall find I am God and have all power and can do all things, saith the Lord. Somebody raise your hands and give God the glory. Is it possible to run again? The answer, yes. Is it possible to fly again? The answer is yes. Is it possible to walk without getting weary? The answer is yes. If God be for you, who can be against you? Somebody ought to be raising your hands and worshiping God right now. There's needs in this house that God can meet right now. If you will but drop your limitation, if you will go beyond what you think God can do into what you can't even think He can do, and then you're getting to where God is able to do it. Stand with me. Glory. Why don't you just reach over and get your neighbor by the hand and say, He's able. That may be the moment God does something great. He's able. He's able. You hear me, Eric? He's able. Restore again what the caterpillar, the canker worm. He's able. Glory. He's able. He's able. He's able. These altars are open. Come bring the Holy Ghost with you. He's in this house. Come bring the Holy Ghost with you. Stand up around these altars and ask God to do something great in your life. Come on now.
Now who can speak to a cripple?
He's able.
Ride up and walk.
I said He's able.